And welcome to the Inner Shift Podcast, where we talk about human behavior change, attachment styles, and subconscious reprogramming. I am your host, Ariel Valdez, and today we're going to be exploring something that's both simple and profound, how your beliefs show up in the relationship you have with others. Now, when we hear the word beliefs, most of us think about religion or politics, but beliefs go way deeper than that. They're the stories we tell ourselves about life, about people, about love, who we can trust, and whether relationships are safe or dangerous. So today, let's take a look at how those inner beliefs, often invisible, and how they affect and shape every interaction, every connection, and even every conflict you have. So what are beliefs really? From a neuroscience lens, beliefs are neural patterns. They're the well-worn pathways your brain has repeated over and over, through what we call repetition of emotion. And this is patterned usually from our earliest childhood experiences. And here's the kicker. Most of them were formed before you were even conscious of choosing anything at all. Let's dive into the attachment theory for a second. When you were a child, your brain was rapidly developing and taking in relational cues from the environment, especially your caregivers. If you cried and someone consistently came to soothe you, your brain started encoding the world is safe, people are available, and you are worthy. But if you reached out and no one came, or their response was inconsistent or rejecting, your brain started forming a very different belief. The world is unpredictable, people can't be trusted, and I must earn love. These beliefs don't just sit in your mind. They live in your nervous system, going on to influence your automatic reactions, how quickly your amygdala fires, how your prefrontal cortex regulates or fails to regulate your emotions, and how your vagus nerve controls your sense of safety in connection. So when we say beliefs shape how we see the world, we're also saying this. Your nervous system tells your mind what to believe in real time. Let's break down the beliefs about yourself, attachment wounds, and the brain. One of the most powerful belief systems you carry is the one you hold about yourself. From an attachment perspective, this is not just psychological, it's sociological. Your self-concept is built through co-regulation. If your caregiver reflected back love, acceptance, and consistency, your brain form pathways associated with secure attachment. You learned, I am safe, I am seen, and I matter. That belief strengthened the prefrontal cortex, which is involved in self-worth, emotional regulation, and moral decision-making. But if your caregivers were emotionally unavailable, critical, or chaotic, your brain adapted to that too. You might have developed anxious or avoidant attachment, and your brain began storing beliefs like, I am too much, I can't trust anyone, love is conditional. These aren't just mindsets, these are survival templates. You see, your amygdala becomes hypersensitive, your cortisol levels spike easily in conflict, and your hippocampus files new experiences under old emotional data. So when you enter adults, the relationships, your brain isn't just reacting to the present, it's replaying the past. That's why when someone pulls away, it can feel like abandonment all over again. You're not only experiencing the situation in front of you, you're experiencing all these emotional imprints that have embedded in you through subconscious programming, right? Your subconscious mind has taken in meaning to all these emotional experiences. It does this because the subconscious mind is trying to keep you safe. It's almost like it's using it as a survival mechanism, right? And it wants to understand what just happened, and it wants to predict future pains because, especially if a situation is painful, it wants to be able to avoid it next time. Let's break this down with an example. Say your partner forgets your birthday, right? And if your attachment wound taught you that I'm not important, your brain will respond in a matter of milliseconds. Your amygdala will fire up in emotional danger, and your sympathetic nervous system will activate. Your heart will race, your jaw tightens, and your thoughts kind of go through a spiral. And you might think thoughts like, I knew it. People always let me down. I don't matter. But if you're built secure, like if you have a secure attachment internally or through healing, your prefrontal cortex steps in and starts saying things like, oh, they probably forgot, but I know they love me. I can bring it up without fear. And your ventral vagus system helps you kind of stay calm and grounded and connected in these situations because you have a secure way of looking at these things and in internally feeling about these things. So even though that was the same situation, there are two very different responses in the nervous system because of two very different belief maps. So if we have not done the work to become secure or we were not wired securely, can we change our beliefs? And the answer is yes. Yes, we can. And here's the truth. Your brain is actually not fixed. And this is thanks to neuroplasticity. You can change what we call neural pathways that fuels this belief, right? And so when we look at these things, it's through repetition of emotion that these neural pathways were fired and wired. So we need to be able to go in and show our brain proof by repatterning those old beliefs with new ones, firing and wiring new neural pathways through evidence and emotional mastery. So here's some of the steps that you can take if you want to move out of this insecure attachment. And, you know, just to say, there's nothing wrong with, you at all. These are just patterns that your brain and your subconscious mind has taken the opportunity to kind of take the wheel for you and protect you. So it is our responsibility if these things aren't serving us in the present moment and in our lives, in our adult lives, because they what once might have worked for you as a child may not work as an adult and actually might be hindering you and progressing in certain areas of your life. And so what we want to do, and the first step we want to do, is to identify the limiting belief, right? It sits in the subconscious mind. So by bringing it to the conscious surface, we can then identify it. And through identifying it, we can create awareness, right? And that's the first step, to create the awareness of these things that are limiting us from probably things like social experience and creating this internal suffering. So step one is identifying the limiting belief. Step two is emotional mastery through trigger. So you want to feel it through the trigger. Don't let it bypass. Feel the emotion, because it's through repetition of emotion, right? Feel the emotion and label it. And so a lot of the times what happens is when something triggers us and this it feels like emotional turmoil inside of us, we then try to avoid it. We try to avoid it because we don't want to feel that, right? So we don't want to feel this, let's avoid it. No, by understanding that essentially emotions are just sensations in the body, right? And so the more we understand that the emotions will just pass and they are just sensations telling us something about what we're believing and making meaning of, the more we understand that, oh, these are just sensations, I'm not in pain, this feeling is coming from, you know, my chest or whatever, it's a sensation. And the meaning you're giving to it is bringing the pain, right? And so the more meaning you have to a situation, the more pain you will feel. And so by feeling the emotion and then going on to label it, so naming, I feel rejected right now, I feel ashamed, I feel abandoned, and then validate your emotion, right? And so when you validate your emotion, it makes sense in a way that you feel more in control, and it prevents you from suppressing the emotion because you are stepping into yourself and you are validating your feelings, right? You're not avoiding yourself. You are validating that this is how you're feeling, and you are sitting present with yourself. And so that brings a sense of control and safety within yourself, that you can handle the things that are inside of you and you are in control and safe. And the third step is challenging the belief with proof. And this is really, really important because we talked about the neural pathways, right? And so when we avoid, it doesn't move the needle. And the sensations and those emotions and those beliefs start to still run, and it still fires and wires those neural pathways, right? It keeps that feeling of rejection, abandonment, ashamed, trapped, those kind of emotions alive still. So when we question the story and we question the meaning we're giving to a situation, we have to ask things like, where is this not true? When have I felt loved? Am I really trapped in this situation? Can I actually just walk out? And 9 out of 10, when you question these beliefs, you're going to see evidence of, oh, this is actually not true. I'm running a false belief. And so when you show your brain proof, you are rewiring, you're firing and wiring new neural pathways. And that's where the magic happens, right? Because the old neural pathways with the old beliefs that we don't want atrophy over time, and then the new ones form, and it gives us a sense of emotional relief and emotional mastery, right? And so step four is the reprogramming through repetition, right? And so we can do things like auto-suggestion and showing your brain proof. So doing things like understanding the belief, whatever it is, I'm not enough, I'm trapped, I'm unloved, and for 21 days, writing down the opposite of that, I am loved, and show your brain proof. 15 pieces of evidence, write it down, and show your brain proof that you are loved, you are enough, and where are you in these areas of your life enough and loved and not trapped and safe, right? And so 21 days to fire and wire new neural pathways, and you're going to start feeling a sense of relief in your body. And from then your beliefs are going to shift. Your beliefs are going to shift, and your new neural networks are going to form. And step five is really, really important. You meet the unmet needs. So a lot of the times when we are running these beliefs and these stories, we are running away from love and connection, and we are getting them in unhealthy ways, right? What we call unhealthy coping mechanisms. So for example, if you are avoidant and a lot of the times you don't connect with somebody on a vulnerable level, and you're not vulnerable and you're not getting that emotional connection because we are all built for emotional connection, you will essentially create this kind of like chronic, uncomfortable, unmet need. And so you will try to soothe through other things like TV, you know, maybe watching something with love, or like maybe listening to a love song to kind of get that, fill that void. Your brain is trying to create like balance within it to find love. And what happens is it's almost like you could imagine it like a bucket, right? And you want to fill your bucket up to feel fulfilled, right? You want to fill it up. So you bring it to the spout. And instead of opening the spout all the way, so that's an example of like, instead of going and being really, really vulnerable and opening up to love, you just open up the faucet just a bit to get drops in. So that's like the TV, love movies, that's the love song that you keep listening to, or those are the relationships that you leave after the 2-3 month mark where things start to feel serious, right? And so when you continue to like create this like emotional turmoil oil and continue these patterns, you're firing and wiring those neural pathways, but you're also creating this chronic state of unmet needs and unfulfillment, right? And so, yes, allow yourself to meet these needs yourself, but you have to understand that like you are built for love and connection. That's how we are designed. And so by getting these things on the outside of you and being able to be vulnerable as an avoidant and an anxious, preoccupied person being able to go in and meet these needs themselves, it creates a new belief system through exposure, right? Through trying and through creating that experience is creating new emotions within you. And so when we do all of these five steps, we essentially create new neural pathways, and that is really where it loops. New neural pathways means new beliefs. New beliefs means new emotional feelings that are essentially feeling like emotional mastery, that you aren't prisoner to the old beliefs that were you were running, and there's no emotional turmoil. You feel embodied and you feel in control. So remember, your relationships are never just about the present. They are shaped by your nervous system's predictions, built by your past attachment experiences. So when you want change and you want to change the quality of your connections, you have to look within at the beliefs wired into your brain and your body. Because when those beliefs shift, your brain calms down, your heart opens, and your relationships soften. This is the biology of connection and is also the beginning of your transformation. So thanks for being here. You don't have to stay stuck in old relational patterns. Your brain can rewire, your brain can shift, and you are more lovable and more capable of connection than your past might have led you to. So I hope this was helpful for everyone. And remember, stay curious and keep rewiring. Until next time, friends.